Welcome to Cartoonist Kayfabe. My name is Jim Rugg.
I'm Ed Piskor.
Doom Force, Ed. But before that, what's up?
The much requested Doom Force. It really was. Red Room, issue one, is going to start to hit the stands in May. Can be pre-ordered at this moment. I have a link tree in the description below. Thousands of Kayfabe crew members have already gone there, reserved their copy. I encourage you to do so as well. It's going to be monthly, every issue self-contained. This first issue, 64 pages of horror goodness with that 90s outlaw aesthetic of duotone and all of that. Patreon.com/Ed Piskor is where I'm serializing those strips ahead of time. It's been really fun, kind of almost like crowdsource editing in some ways. Ed, man, you spelled Solace wrong. Shit like that. Two issues are up there at this moment. New pages every Tuesday. And all those links are available in that link tree below.
You can find my latest work at patreon.com/JimRugg. I am starting an analysis, a comparison between these two stories. They're sort of the same story, but when I started Street Angel at Image Comics, this is the first story I did. This is the last story I did. So it's a revamping, a retelling, a rewriting, redrawing. Everything is different between the two, and I enjoy the comparison videos we've made. So yeah. I figured I would do a comparison on my Patreon, patreon.com/JimRugg. Doom Force, Ed.
Yes.
1992, Grant Morrison, cutting promos on Image Comics. I don't know if there's any other way to describe this thing. I think that's how they would describe it if they were talking to us right now. And you can see it from the cover, man, already with some of the hatching, the big ludicrous-shaped guns, grimacing characters. It's sort of, in some ways, this is a how-to image, right?
It's perfect, man. And it's funny that it's like Giffen and Mignola, who both have their kind of run-ins with Rob Liefeld in various forms and fashions. Mignola drew that the Wild Pack or the Six-Pack issue of X-Force, the one that we've talked about plenty of times.
It might be both of those things, because I think they did change the name or something at some point.
Giffen did some Supreme comics and will be at Image sooner than later. Spot on with the art here.
Yeah, it's a good cover for that kind of an aping of a style.
I was cracking up going through this thing, man.
It's very funny. So let's dive in. At this point, you know, Doom Force, a little bit of reference probably to Doom Patrol, the series that Morrison is writing and pretty well known for at the time. Keep an eye on the ads as we flip through. They certainly give you a snapshot of the time period when this comes out. I'm going to pause here so everybody can look at the credits list.
Yeah.
Because I did not make my own list to follow along as we go, but several artists are teaming up to do this. So we've got about 9 artists that are scattered throughout this issue working collaboratively, and you'll see the style changes as we go.
These guys are the best. Ian Montgomery and Brad V. I wish they would have done the whole thing because they just capture that vibe so perfectly. Look at these hatch lines going across all four fingers, super far apart. When you do stuff like this, it's like trying to train yourself to drive over those double yellow lines.
Yes.
Or like
a lot of bad habits here.
Right, yeah, that you have to like install into your process in order to catch the vibe. And this team does it perfectly. That can also be said for the writing, because there's like so much non sequitur captioning and stuff. Also, by the way, like I love how quaint, like they couldn't even think to put like another zero at the end of that little price tag. It's like $2,500, and even back then, like, you know, $4,000 or whatever, like you could add another zero to that.
That's
to
be great, though.
Oh, it is good.
And I interpret this as they were known for doing what were called like anchors on pages, right? To make each page sell, almost like insert pinup quality shots on each page, because that'll make the original art more desirable. Putting a price tag right here on the page as if this is for sale.
Yeah.
Love it.
It is funny that their sort of good artistic qualities kind of still show through. So like this guy could draw way better hands than this era Rob Liefeld ever could. So he can't even go that far. Like that's a good Rob Liefeld female hand, but these are too good for the male figures.
So the caption, Doom Force: once they smiled, now they are grim. Children of the catastrophe, blessed or cursed with fantastic powers and gorgeous bodies.
Yeah.
It's ludicrous. Shasta the Living Mountain.
All he could do is turn to a mountain. Like, and they'll all have their origin captions and shit.
These grunts are straight out of any... is it fair to say this is a Rob Liefeld parody more than Image or anything else?
Absolutely. It's totally busting on him. And it makes me think about, like, we saw Walt Simonson's name in there earlier. And does it get personal? Is it personal when Walt is a part of it? Because, you know, Louise was writer of New Mutants, and then Rob sent her pack in because she wanted to name Cable Commando X, and he was like, no!
This is almost Mark Pacella.
I was going to say that.
Out of the X-Force fill-in issues towards the end of the Rob
Liefeld
run.
I was totally going to say that shit, man. some of these guys, they could be in Extreme Studios. It's like, is it Dan Panosian, Mark Pacella, Greg Capullo? Like, it's like that good.
Yeah,
in terms of aping the shit.
Yeah, like they had to be referencing specific issues and things at times because the pool's so tight. Cool World ad.
That's the era. Shouts out Uncle Ralph. Like, see, he's got the muscles down. Like I've seen this arm.
There's a lot of this stuff that looks like, say, Youngblood number one.
Yeah. And I love that he's got, like, a mesh shirt just so that you could get that hatchet. There's no Perfect. Other purpose. I don't understand scratch. Like, is that some sort of Irish term or Scottish term or something?
No, I don't know where that comes from. All the names of the characters are a little bit strange. You know, like Crying Boy, I don't know what that's from. Just everybody's anguished, I suppose.
Yeah, and that is funny to me. And so is the mountain, but Scratch.
There's several of these things, especially with Scratch, that we're going to see, where the anatomy and poses are stretched to such an absurd degree. Like, that's a pretty good one, because it almost looks like his butt is all, like, if you're just looking at that, it's almost like the butt is there, except this leg is completely out the other side.
There he
this
is.
This guy's great, because he does nothing, and they all give him a hard time. Scratch is constantly telling him he should die, because he's useless.
And then, like, you got the little hatch marks. See, that? This is perfect, because they're really scrutinizing Rob's work close enough to like capture that stuff. You know, that looks like Brahma from Team Youngblood.
A lot. Yeah, a lot.
But then you see this and that's too good. Like the little robot gimmicks in there, little gizmos, too good.
Too good does happen. And like, what a generic page this is.
Yeah, this is just somebody being a goofball. They're just being mean.
Yeah, well, I mean, you could argue this whole book is somebody being mean, right?
Of course, but that is ridiculous.
This reminds me of Eric Larson and the Todd McFarlane side profile.
Uh-huh.
So maybe it's a little bit of Image all over.
Just these.
This character's so weird. I don't know what her origin is, but it feels like she might have been a monkey that was turned into a human.
Yeah, I think they
morphed into
that.
Him. Because she has very strange proportions. We were looking at Extinction Agenda. She's the one who reminds me of the president of Genosha.
Right. And that's just Walt Simonson drawing. Like, he ain't looking at no Rob Liefeld stuff.
Yeah, that's a pretty good drawing. I don't know that there's any Image counterpart to that. This, of course, here we go. This is a brother or sister team. You see the little ridiculous ponytail kind of piece. Got to have that kind of thing. Stupid facial hair. Another staple, big sunglasses. And his comment is, why is she wearing so much clothes?
Yeah.
So she's going to change clothes into something more appropriate to the Image Extreme era.
And this ain't very good Rob Liefeld either.
It isn't. And, you know, that it comes and goes. It's funny how I do think this is a real good version overall of a Liefeld parody. But it is a hit and miss. Like, at times things are drawn too well, or there are perspectives that you just wouldn't get out of the Rob Liefeld, out of his style.
Those page two guys are like, they did too good. Because all this other stuff doesn't hit it.
It's true. Although I like this guy a lot. And it's funny to see interpretations like that forehead shading thing is such a Liefeld staple. This doesn't quite look like the Liefeld stuff, but there are moments of Image storytelling where I can't tell what happens here. Like, they're climbing in its head, but all the perspectives keep switching around, so it's real hard to read. I like this drawing, too, of this character. And again, it's not... There's no Image character or artist that draws this way, but I like these weird interpretations of, like, that forehead shading. And again, the sister now wearing something more appropriate to Image. I mean, that's definitely cutting promos on the idea of the Image, how they would draw women. Yeah.
Those hatches, man. The screen door.
That's pretty good.
That is good. That is good.
That nose is exactly, like, you could find noses like that
and
in his work.
And that's just, like, you know, that's just mean. Looking like Wolverine clawed him.
This is ludicrous. This whole bit is the kind of the crux of this story. This is a hard comic to read.
It really is. It's but it is super funny, and it's Grant Morrison is lobbing bombs on Kayfabe and Nicieze and those guys.
Yeah, I think so.
Because it's just their ludicrous captioning and dialogue that says and means nothing. Like, I didn't read all those words, but I'm sure they say nothing.
You know what? They're this idea that the Earth, that humans are an infection on Earth and destroying the planet, and the planet's a living organism, and so these things are like the manifestation of that. And one of the characters can control, like, plants, so they're able to control this city-sized thing, which is going to come into play with our mountain, because here comes a city-sized villain, essentially, heading to L.A. It's going to destroy the city of L.A. This feels like it could have been right out of an X-Force.
He could put it this way. This guy could work for Extreme Studios, sure.
Yeah, I think so.
He could draw Newman or something.
Here's your parody gag, too. As the living mountain is increasing in mass, you get to see some of the details, including a ski lift up the side of it. Even skiers coming down and, like, falling.
Yeah, that's so dumb.
Such a weird combination of stuff. These shitty splash pages feel kind of right. See that in Brigade, early issue Brigade. Here's one of those poses I was talking about where it's just stretched to the point of, it's almost like the chest, like these arms are on backwards.
Right, it's so good. That's like when you pull your toy out of the toy box and his arms are all jacked.
Yeah, completely. You want that articulation, you're going to get some certain poses are going to be a little bit weird.
Speaking of which, all of this, dude, they're all here. Some, you got to break your pages up with some speed lines. The only way that this could be better is if this page was just composed a little bit over, so that, like, this part of the panel was, like, on this page.
That would be good. That would be a really good choice.
You got to have your screen door texture, your mountain. Like, this is all over X-Force 1, where it's just these, like, very nondescript 5-year-old evergreens, pine trees.
You know, when we're talking about this is cutting promos, and of course it clearly is, you know, parody of this style, but also, like, Grant Morrison's writing Spawn issues, you know, a year or two after this. So I think it's a critique, it's a parody, it's an application.
I think it's an exorcism of their own jealousy, only from the wild success. It's like, you guys are month in, month out making these Doom Patrol issues and, like, working your ass off.
Yes.
And nobody's noticing because they're buying these dashed off, like, illegible Spawn comics that has to... I mean, there are versions of that today. Like, you know, like, we... It's not like we don't bust our butts, man, and see goofball shit out there.
It's just all over the place. The facial hair is morphed now into a mustache that actually goes up into eyebrows.
Yeah.
They're complaining about why is he wearing full clothes and she's naked? So he joins her.
Right, because he's like, this is what you should be wearing, because she was still too dressed up. Universal Soldier, wow. Baby.
I love this kind of splash page. Such a way, like, it's just, yeah, I got paid $2,000 for this. That was Shasta, the living mountain, sacrificing himself. All issue long, Scratch is telling him he should just die because he's useless and doesn't do anything. And then whenever he dies, it's like, it's kind of like just a pile of shit is all that's left. Poor Shasta. He says, poor Shasta, and they end with, ah, big deal. Kid was a creep anyway. I'm glad he's dead. And they all agree. You know something? You're right.
It turned into Brat Pack.
They're just laughing and leaving with Shasta's ghosts lingering over top of them.
This is great, because this is, now we're getting into, like, the Todd McFarlane editorial promo yes. cuts, man, where it's just this, like, super kayfabe origins of the issue and stuff.
Yeah, this is really good. When I was trying to figure out, like, a 90s parody, this is where all your storytelling happened.
Right.
This is where you explained everything that isn't in the comic, but you need to understand. It's a pretty good version. Like, if you're really aping this kind of style, it's pretty damn good.
And just, I mean, these are characters that may or may not be showing up in future Doomforce comics.
Hurl.
Yeah, it's just like Slop.
Headache, Headbutt.
Quasi, Ratchet.
Spatula.
With the TMs on all of them. And that's
Spinal.
And it's,
And the TMs is good.
It's very key, because Rob would do that stuff, man. And it's copyright trolling. You know, you have the trademark, so that when, if you know, Continuity Studios has a comic and there's a character called, you know, Deathlock with just a K, like, you can force your trademark and defend it and get them to stop and make money, whatever.
And it's why you see things like Wild Pack being changed to Six Pack, or back and forth, vice versa, Bedrock to Bad Rock, stuff like that, for this exact reason. I remember Wizard Magazine would run, you know, their spotlights of, like, whatever the new Image comic was, and they would talk about how, man, we're really running out of names. So, pretty funny stuff. This is spot on. I think that from a parody standpoint, that's about as good as you get to that early 90s Image, Liefeld kind of style. But I don't know, Ed, maybe you have a better example of parody of that style.
Well, what I would say is that in the box sets for Hip Hop Family Tree, I got to play around with the style a little bit. There would be these various instances of Rob intersecting with hip-hop in certain ways, man. The Levi's commercial was directed by Spike Lee, and then years later you started to see those photographs from the Youngblood 1 signing and Eazy-E showing up and stuff. So Hip-Hop Family Tree, like, I gotta do my version of that, you know. And when I sent this off to Fantagraphics to be published, Gary Groth hits me back up and it's like, Ed, what the fuck am I publishing here? So I made sure to get Gary Groth's name on here a bunch of times.
That's hilarious.
Right there.
That's so editor. Funny.
And, you know, that's like Spawn or whatever. But, you know, looking at Rob's... See, there's the establishing shot that we were talking about in the Spider-Man 1, where it's like Earth, building, Malibu, and then the like, so you got to hit it at all those angles, man. But studying his style up close was so rewarding, man, because you really, like, you get to actually see the stuff that he does that actually works really good and makes a lot of sense. But then you got to do the stuff like that.
That's fun. Even worth noting the font, using a font like those early Image books do.
Yeah, for sure. This idea was like, this is the color guide, and so you got all the Y's and stuff, but then I have, like, the colorists, like, yelling at the color separators, calling them cunts and stuff. And see, he's got those fists like that. And so, like, there's a Spike Lee, you know, like, that's supposed to be Jordan, and...
It's fun to see Jordan kind of beefed up.
Yeah,
put, like, through the extreme style.
But then...
That's a good Spike Lee from that commercial.
Just, you know, they got the Simeon character from those, like, upshots that Rob would do, where you would be looking up the character's noses, and it always looked weird that way. I got another one in here of Stan Lee, but then you got the big legs.
That's a really good
no Deadpool. Feet. 0 feet. I feel like that works.
Yeah, the screen door texture in the background.
The hair, the crazy eye. I love those eyes.
Those eyes
so
are good.
Much, man. I mean, not my drawing, but, like, when Rob would do that. The Levi's commercial.
Of course.
You know, with the hands and all that. I post this on my Instagram every now and then, and people who aren't hip, you know, people who just came in through the hip-hop or something, are like, did you have a stroke? What, like yes. Why'd you start drawing this way? Like, what? I don't get it. This is Todd McFarlane. That's Jim Lee.
That's hilarious.
And that's Stan Lee looking like Grandpa Al Munster. The comic people love when on Instagram when you flip to that, and then you get to those feet, though. And then this is, my idea here is four color comics, but then computer, you know, with like all the lens flares and all of that junk. But this is him on Dennis Miller. Gotta have the guns, him and Eazy-E.
Gotta have the guns.
Yeah.
That's a major part of it all.
And then Eazy-E, like Chapel dies of AIDS, Eazy-E dies of AIDS, and I just kind of draw some connection because, like, you know, is there a connection? I posit the question, Jimmy.
This is fun. It looks like it's getting into the Extreme Studio style now. Maybe you have some background
anchors. Gotta add those lines, man. Dan Fraga. This is wrong, because I said that Fraga won the talent contest, but he didn't. It was, I forget now. It might have been Chuck Jones who won it. I forget.
Todd Knock?
I thought Todd Knock, but it was a different contest that Todd Knock got. It's got the Black Flag logo and stuff, but that's Rob and Dan Frank sitting at Rob's pool. And then Franco would tell the story of getting beat up by Rob. Right. And so, like, that just, like, splatter. And, like, Rob, Franco Boom spilled ink on my station. Because, like, somebody was complaining about that in Extreme. And then there's the slap heard around the world. And then there were two versions. Like, there's the Frega version of what happened, the Rob Liefeld version of what happened, and then we know that the truth is somewhere in between, kind of thing.
That's
like,
good.
I got fans to go for the gold and everything. Like,
gotta love that kind of a parody.
You get like five different types of golds that you could choose from.
Very nice.
Yeah.
All right, and I think that's as much as I've got on Doom Force.
Yeah, let's get the heck out of here. One other thing, though. You find way more of these in the back issue bins than any issue of Doom Patrol. Like, you will almost never see a Doom Patrol, but you'll see plenty of these. I bet it sort of did the trick. Like, these are out there. You could get them.
It's a cool cover. You could easily buy this cover at the time thinking this is legit. Like, this is the... I love Brigade.
Yeah.
Give me the Doom Force number one.
I'm telling you, man, these guys could all be a part of Extreme Studios if they wanted.
This should have been the monthly series they were working on.
I bet it would come out monthly, too, because these are real pros. Anyhow, K-Favors, like, follow, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Hit the bell. We'll notify you when new vids are available.
You can subscribe to my Patreon at patreon.com/JimRug for lots of extra art behind the scenes and now Street Angel comparison side by side.
Red Room Issue 1 coming out in May in comic stores near you. But if you want it delivered to your house, you could pre-order it through the Fantagraphics website. I have a link tree below where you could get to all these destinations, including the Patreon, where I serialize the comics beforehand. Two issues are up there now. Put new strips out every Tuesday, and $3 will get you the archive.
You can subscribe to the Cartoonist Kayfabe e-newsletter at the links below this video to keep up with everything we have coming up in 2021. You can find Cartoonist Kayfabe t-shirts and merchandise at the links below this video.
Jimmy, give them marching orders. We're going to be on our way.
Read more comics.